This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Game 5 tonight, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to Game 5 tonight out at the stadium. Yanks extend their season and the baseball season as well with the win last night. See if they can keep it going one at a time, get this thing back to Los Angeles. You know, Dave Roberts to me, BT, is the worst manager I've ever seen. And I'm not talking about like, you know, Mickey Callaway, those type of, like Dave Roberts is an actual, well, he's not even a manager. He's a data applicator. But he's been in the big leagues for a long time as far as being the manager for the Dodgers, whatever it's been, 8, 9 years, whatever it's been that he's been there. And he gives away games as if it is the regular season, which even to me in the regular season is unacceptable. But he manages in the postseason like these games don't mean anything. How can he get away with that? And how is that good for the sport? How can you justify in a two-run game in the World Series with a chance for your team to clinch the World Series, win the thing, pop the champagne, and you just let the guy take it on the chin? You bring in a less than... Like, how are you not going to one of your better relievers in that spot trying to keep the game at bay? How do you justify that as a big league manager? Dave Roberts is an absolute moron, and I can't sit back and watch him manage these games. Matter of fact, like, the biggest reason why I think the Yankees are alive in the series and have a chance is because Dave Roberts and his ineptitude. He's a by-the-book guy. You could predict his moves. He's too quick to go to the bullpen. He, for not just the starters, for all the relievers, he gives up on games. Dave Roberts is a mess. He's a robot. He's a data applicator, and at some point, he's going to get burned.
Legitimate question here, and I get it. I mean, Roberts is what he is. What's the difference between Boone and Roberts?
I think Boone has a little bit of a better feel. Also, Boone hasn't had the... I mean, look, the Yankees have a lot of players. The Dodgers are built like... I mean, come on. Look at the Dodger team in comparison to the Yankees even. Look at their bench in comparison to the Yankees. Like, their depth, 1 through 9, where the Yanks may have some guys that, like, could be good one day or might be okay. Like, the Dodgers have proven vets. They go out there and get Edmund at the deadline. They get Flaherty. This is a team that got Glasnow in the beginning of the year. That brought in Ohtani, obviously. One star after another. Like, the Dodgers are absolutely loaded. And by the way, they failed in every postseason. I don't think it's a coincidence, except the pandemic, the shortened season that they won in 2020. They failed every other year.
He was a step away from getting fired this year. Like, if they lose that Padres series, he's absolutely out. And you started this by saying, you know, how can you justify doing what he did, not trying to go to a higher leverage arm at that spot, keep it tight, try to win? You can't. You can't justify it, which is why he better hope that he wins. Because if he doesn't, he might still get shown the door.
Think about this.
The Yankees come back. He might get fired.
Oh, okay, and what's the recipe for coming back? You're giving away a game. Now, again, I'm not saying that's why the Yankees won. They might have won anyway. But you're giving away a game? Remember when we used to watch baseball and teams tried to win games? It's the World Series, and this idiot is giving away games in the World Series, let alone the Division Series. He did this against the Padres, let alone the NLCS. He did this against the Mets. He's doing it against the Yankees in the World Series. If there was ever a guy that deserved to give up an 0-3 or 3-0 lead in a World Series or a series, it is Dave the Dunce Roberts. I can't take watching him manage. How is that good for the game?
Dave the Duns, that's a new one there. Oh, my God. That's up there with McAdoofus.
McAdoofus.
Oh, my God. Well, I can't defend that. I won't even try, but we will happily accept
you take
his
it.
Idiocy.
I know, but think about for the sport. Like, even if you take the Yankees out of it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Game's changed so much.
How can you manage a game? Like, Boone doesn't do that. You may say, all right, well, Boone, there's a certain spot where Boone's going to say, okay, well, I'm not going to go with Weaver in a 6-4 deficit.
Yep.
Dave Roberts has got 15 damn arms in that bullpen. He didn't use one good one yesterday. Think about that. And by the way, I do think Blake Tronin's due to get beat anyway. But my point, like, Judge is going to get him at some point. My point is that, you're coming back in that game. All right, 5-4 deficit. You're not going to go with any high leverage guys. Even at 6-4, you're just going to let the game get out of control to a point where you can't come back. Or even force the Yankees' hand in using Weaver for a third inning, which might take him out of play tonight.
Which Boone said after the game he was going to. You know, if it got to that point, if they were up by a run or two, that he was going to trot him back out there, which would have been the only move. Because think about this. It would have been the opposite, or the spotlight negatively would have been on Boone. If the Yankees are up one or two,
yeah,
and they don't go back to Weaver for that third inning and they lose the game, Aaron Boone is absolutely destroyed.
100% he was going to. You could tell in the seventh inning.
Oh, yeah, I knew it. But, like, can you imagine? Egregious.
The bigger question to me would have been, if he did come back out for that inning, would he be available tonight? I would think he still would.
Yeah, he hinted at that, too. He didn't really give a definitive.
Okay.
He said it maybe would have compromised. I mean, we all know that.
Well,
hence the question.
Yeah, but it's a World Series.
I hear you. I don't understand. I know it's easier for us, but, you know, how do you not go on your and just knock on the door and say, you need 50 pitches from me tonight?
I'm good,
I got
to
you.
Go. Yeah.
Whatever you need me tomorrow, I'm good. The next day, that's why Cortez giving up the granny, you know, is borderline meatball, 92 mm-hmm. miles per hour to a guy who's been red hot. I've never once crushed Cortez over that. I was all over Boone because, you know, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of many, not everybody, but many, Cortez shouldn't have been out there. I think that's fairly agreeable, but the fact that he said, hey, my elbow very well might explode with the first pitch I throw in this series, but to will yourself back and he doesn't have $100 million in the bank, Nestor Cortez.
Right.
He's doing well, but it's not like he's got three or four generations worth of money sitting in there collecting interest. So I respect gamers, and it just doesn't seem like a lot of these guys are just willing. Garrett Cole, the other 88. Like, come on, push it.
Let's take Cole aside because I do think something might be up there. Now, we'll find out after the fact. And if there isn't anything up, then I think it's fair game for
Cole.
So
if he comes out, I don't want you to lose part of your question. Yep. But if he comes out and he throws, you know, 103 pitches, you know, not to be amazing, but he pitches well.
I think it's even worse then.
Oh, no. Meaning
the game one decision.
That's where I was going. Yeah. Because you think partly, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you partly think that the pulling of him,
I think something's off,
was because he was a little tired or not physically, you know, full, or that's why the early pull. I don't think that was the case myself, okay. but I don't know.
And by the way, he's out there, so it should be fair game. I'm just trying to do the math. I know Aaron Boone is not stupid. We could criticize some of the moves, but, like, Aaron Boone wants to win. He manages these games to win. He's not stupid, so I don't think he wanted to get Cole out of the game. It's not like he's got the itch to get to the bullpen, or at least in that particular spot.
Yep.
I think he read Cole and said, he's done. I got to go to the bullpen. For whatever reason it may be. Now, don't you think that a lot of what we're seeing today, like, I don't think that Weaver would have been hypothetically unavailable tonight if he pitched the third inning yesterday.
Me neither.
Because Weaver wouldn't want in. I think it would have been because the Yankees look at the analytics and say, well, he's a guy that's going to be better on extra rest. We use him for three ups and X amount of pitches.
Yep.
And he's not going to be as effective, as opposed to, I don't want in. Like, I'm sorry.
There's no way Luke Weaver saying that. Now,
you wouldn't think, but I'm saying just in general,
yeah,
I think.
I get it. It's a bit of an epidemic, and it's infiltrated the sport. And, you know, now what's going to happen over time downstream, players are already there, are going to become more and more and more conditioned when things get a little bumpy and it's the fifth inning and there's two on and you're at 76 pitches instead of, like, an old horse. And I don't even mean an old timer like Roger Clemens, but even Bobby Ojeda like just a good pitcher.
Yeah, those guys are gamers.
They're not going anywhere, man. Like, they're like,
cut their arm off to get them out of a game.
Yeah, and I just think that the pitchers are now predisposed and conditioned to almost look to the bullpen for help. Look to the dugout for help. It's and I, I don't want to exonerate them because it's kind of soft, but it's I can't fully fault them because that's the game they're growing up in.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to say I hate the game because I love the game. And I have genuinely loved every second of this postseason run from both the Mets and Yankees. Every night we've had a big game to watch, sometimes two games. I love getting home and watching these games.
It's been the best.
But the sport has changed. Like a bullpen game in the World Series mm-hmm. by the team with a payroll that's astronomical. You can't find a fourth starter. Like, is it that bad? You can't find the fourth. You got to go with a bullpen game. And not only that, you're giving up. And you've given up games in the postseason. And then if you watch the way that he manages, like, you could manage along with him because it's so by the book. Oh, here's a lefty. Like, there's no thought to that whatsoever. He had my issue, not last night, in game three, where he took Buehler out after whatever it was, five innings. Okay, yep. Fine. That's just par for the course. You get that that's going to be the case. He went with Gratterall, right? That's mm-hmm. how you say his name?
Yeah.
And this guy's as nasty as it comes. And he's a guy that I would want. He's not afraid of anybody.
He's got some energy out there, too. No, he's ready to do some damage.
He actually butchered the ball defensively, but he still made the play. Yeah. I wouldn't have thrown it second, but he did. He takes this guy out of the game. Like, okay, take your starter out after five because you think he's, you know, he's not 100% healthy. You want
to get time through the order.
Whatever. Yeah, I don't love it, but I understand that. You take the reliever you brought in out to bring in a lefty to face Jazz Chisholm? Like, that's just... What are we doing here? The lefty-righty matchups are taking priority over the individual pitchers being able to get through an inning. It's two outs here, bring in a lefty. An out here, two outs there, bring in the righty. Like, I can't take the data-applicating baseball matchups and watching. It's just, I think it's awful for the sport.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reverse splits that are counter to the conventional matchup. Like, lefty-lefty, all right, well, no, not really if you... Because there are different pitches being thrown now. Now, obviously, a couple of guys threw sinkers back in the day. The splitty was fairly prevalent. Roger Craig, former Giant member, he was
Did
a
you say
Giant
splitty.
Splitty, yeah, splitter, splitty.
Oh, splitty.
Yeah, it's a little baseball verb.
Oh, all right,
he's got splitty today. Right. Was he? Well, that splitty's dropping. It'll be another long day for me. That's what
I don't think
saying.
I've ever heard that one. But.
Yeah, like Burt Blylevin had a sick deuce. Like there's obviously been the staple pitches, but now there's different movements that are the opposite of the way the ball used to break. So what you would think would be a good lefty-lefty matchup, weirdly, is almost better a lefty-righty matchup from the pitching perspective. It's just, it's crazy.
All the numbers, it drives me nuts. Nick is calling from Greenwich, Connecticut. What's up, Nick?
Guys, I'm a more tempered Yankee fan because I go back to the 76 World Series. So when you get these callers on that are all excited, it's generational because they're the younger generation. They don't understand the older Yankees the way they used to play.
Mm-hmm.
But let alone than that, I mean, the thing that the Dodgers have that the Yankees don't have, and it's actually cost the Yankees games, I know we talked about Boone. He and his coaching staff make fundamental mistakes, and that reflects on the team that makes fundamental mistakes on the field. This would be a 2-2 going into game five, must win, going back and clinching game six in Dodger Stadium. If it wasn't for Boone being not fundamental and his team not being fundamental, the Dodgers are doing everything fundamental. They run the bases right. They field the ball correctly. They hit the cutoff man. Tell me when the Yankees have done that.
Yeah, but why is this Boone's fault? Or where is Boone
because
not being
he's
fundamental?
He's the manager. Well, he should know his players, Sal.
Okay, but give me an example.
162 games.
So what do you want to do? Because Gleyber Torres, I'm assuming you're going to reference from game one?
Well, it's not only him. It's Gleyber. Yeah. You know what?
So what is Boone supposed to do about that?
These guys, this is the World Series. Yeah. You get in front of the ball.
I mean, that's not something you teach in the World Series, Nick, and thank you for the call. It's something you teach in Little League.
Yeah, but true. But to his point, what he's saying is, you know, and I don't even really know how we got into that because we weren't really talking about Boone. It was more Dave Roberts. But the sloppiness that the Yankees have had for a couple of years now, they are dead last in base running metrics, by the way. We talk about it.
Well, do you think that's the manager or do you think that that's the organization not putting a priority on either developing players the right way or bringing in players who know how to play baseball?
I think it's a little bit of both. I definitely do. I think it's both. I think that there's various philosophies in each organization. And we've talked about the Yankees hitting philosophy, which has been changed a little bit over the years, thankfully. But we know what it was, and it just didn't work. It was antiquated. It was busted. I think that if you're going to give a manager credit, you know, if you're going to give, you know, hey, Tom Thibodeau, the Knicks are a good defensive team. Well, that's because what he demands, and that's what he espouses, and that's what they do, and it works, and they play defense, usually. Then I think for a team, and again, I'm not trying to turn this into anti-Boone, I'm just reacting to what he said, because he is right. You look at a team that is too often disengaged and sloppy in base running and fundamentals. Yeah. I can't ignore that who the manager is. Right. Well, he's the manager.
I just don't think that it's, I don't think the manager has much to do with that. Like, part of their issues on the bases is Giancarlo Stanton can't run. Is that the manager's fault? And again, the Yankees just are in a position where they're like, well, we'll deal with it because we know Stanton can hit a bomb at any moment. Glaber's been here for how many years?
I got a different one for you. The Glaber experience
okay,
is different.
So
Stanton, there's nothing you could do. The only thing you could do with Stanton is have Rojas hold him up and pinch run him when you have to and run him out there and hope he's going to mash a few, which he has been. I mean, I think it's more deeply rooted. You know, you look at, even when Josh Donaldson got here, right? Oh, my God, I yelled so much in my voice.
Better than I thought. I thought you'd really be struggling.
I'm hanging in. When Josh Donaldson got here, think about two or three times he thought he had a home run. It hit the wall. He pimped. He either got thrown out at second or was on first. Like the Yankees, and it didn't, not that Boone loved it, but it never really went with punishment. It was just kind of there. And then Glaber saw that, and Glaber did some of that stuff. Like, he's a player's manager, which is a good thing, but there's certain times I wish he was more buttoned up. Now, he's not going to change it now. Like, he is who he is.
I don't know if any manager
great.
I know what you're saying. I don't know if any manager can change that in today's game.
Well, let me ask you this. Think about Buck's first year with the Mets.
Yeah, but then
remember the play, I think it was in either D.C. or Philly, where Marte backed up a play, and I think, where was it? And I think he threw Harper out of third, and I remember talking about it, like, it was like a little league backup that you don't see major leaguers doing that much anymore. And the first year, and they should, but the first year with Buck, the Mets were very fundamentally sound, and we gave credit to Buck because he demands it. Then the next year, they weren't
right, as with the same manager. I know.
But, and then we got on him. So I don't really know exactly where the answer is, but I do know if you have a manager who's not tolerant of laziness or, you know, not being in the right spot fundamentally, I think eventually if you have the right players, I believe you coach it out of them eventually. Right. So I think it's part organizational. I think it's part Boone. I think it's part Roberts, part the state of the game. It's part of a lot of things. But keep the ball in front of you, Torres.
We started,
just back to that.
We started, and he's had so many of them. We started talking about Roberts. I just want to close the chapter on this, at least between you and I, because you said, well, why is Boone any different? Mm-hmm. Game two, down 4-1, Aaron Boone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Boone went to Clay Holmes.
Yep.
Arguably his best guy, but certainly second best guy behind Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a high leverage spot. Down 4-1 on the road in game two, he went with Clay Holmes because he wanted to keep the game at bay.
Yeah.
It ended up Yankees tack on one of the ninth, had a threat at least a little bit.
Had a chance.
Dave Roberts goes the other way. he would have been like, yeah, down 4-1. I'm not going to use my high leverage guys. I'll save them for the next day.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
No, I get it. Now, he's not number one, not number. I almost feel better with Kainley at this point than Holmes, but
whatever. That's
he's
fair.
Definitely one of the higher leverage arms. I get it. I mean, listen, Roberts, what'd you call him?
Dave the Dunce.
Dave the Dunce.
Yeah, and I can see the meme right now after the Dodgers blow this with Dave with a Dunce cap on.
In the
Dave
corner.
The Dunce sitting there with that dumb look of his. Just, oh, I don't know what happened. I went by the paper. The analytics said this guy was supposed to get that guy out. We were supposed to win this game.
Remember when we were young and Gallo would do the cartoons in the papers, horns game one. Hey, it's the Dunce horns.
Bill Gallo, I do remember that. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. We're taking your calls on the Yanks, 888-808-1019, World Series extended. Yankees have some life, and there is a path. Certainly tonight on paper, you'd think, BT, Gerrit Cole has the advantage at home over Flaherty. You know, the Yankees' bats waking up a little bit last night, regardless of the circumstance. They did score a bunch of runs. Everybody at the bottom of the order starting to contribute. Maybe a matter of time before Judge gets going. We'll see what happens here if the Yanks can find themselves extending this thing. See, I think last night was avoid embarrassment. Tonight it's got to be get me to L.A. Don't let them celebrate on our turf and get us to L.A.
Yeah, like they did in 81. I told Sal the story the other day how it's just amazing how I remember that all these years later, 81 was really the first World Series I remember truly watching. And watching every game, even though, I don't know if I made it up to the last pitch of every game. I was in the first grade. But I do remember when the Dodgers won, and the Yankees had won the first two games of that series, and then they lost four straight, and the Dodgers won at Yankee Stadium. And the back page, I believe it was new. It could have been the Post, but I'm almost positive it was the Daily News. There was a picture of the three Steves celebrating, Steve Garvey, Steve Yeager, the catcher, and Steve Howe. And
I remember him for a different reason.
Yeah, I do too. He died. He had Steve Howe, a lot of drugs. Oh, yeah.
The lefty reliever. I remember the drug problem.
Yeah.
Did he start as a starter? I remember him as a reliever with the Yanks.
It's a good question.
Anyway.
I don't think he started as a starter, but I could be wrong on that.
I remember the drug problem.
He had pretty
good
stuff, too.
Yeah.
He was suspended like 8-9 times. He had a world of issues. Unfortunately, no death is good, but I think it was fairly, whatever. Rest in peace to Steve. But that was the memory. And, yeah, last night was the stave-off execution, not on our turf. And now tonight, you walk into the stadium, and you still want to stave off the execution. But now it's like, all right, I don't see any blood yet, but I see a little black and a little teeny-weeny, tiny, barely visible black and blue based on the 11 runs they hung on them last night. You drop a shot early tonight, and it's series on.
There is a little confidence after getting that win. Now it's like, hey, we can beat these guys.
That's right.
And then you do it again. By the way, Steve Howe never started. Vinny is calling for Center Reach. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Vin.
So I got a quick question. Hypothetically, the Yankees lose tonight, and obviously every Yankee fan wants to keep Soto. What do you think about the Yankees deferring his contract the way the Dodgers did Ohtani?
Well, number one, and that's come up before. I appreciate the call. Two things need to happen. Number one, Soto and Soto's camp needs to be amenable to it. Like, they need to be okay. Not everybody wants deferred money, number one. Number two, the Yankees really do need to, and so do the other teams who are going to go after them, the Mets and maybe the Dodgers, Giants. Like, they've got to have a creatively structured contract because now there's a model out there. And, you don't think Boris is cooking up all sorts of wild stuff down the road, contract-wise?
Right. Yeah.
No. I mean, he might just want the 650 straight up, or he might, he might do the that deferrals. I don't know.
Here's what I would say. Come on. We're sports fans. We're going to get caught up in deferrals now. It's one thing if you say, well, is Soto going to be back, whether they win or lose? That's a conversation I might be able to entertain. And by the way, I don't even think that's a conversation for today. Put it this way. We're going to have weeks and maybe months discussing Juan Soto and his free agency. It's game five of the World Series. Juan Soto is a Yankee for now. And tonight he'll be in that lineup at the stadium trying to extend this thing to Los Angeles. I wouldn't worry today
about his
free agency. And I certainly wouldn't worry about the deferrals. Like,
well, I do think it's a part of the baseball business now. I do think once there's a model presented contractually that's unique, no matter what the sport is.
Do you think that gives us in New York an advantage or no?
I actually think it gives smaller market teams more of an advantage, which theoretically could open up the doors because, if I don't have to pay you now, I get, like maybe the Orioles. I don't think he's going to Baltimore, but they've got new ownership. They've got a really good team. If they couldn't justify giving him $650, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Let's worry about the game.
Yeah.
But I think it opens up the doors for them, but I also think maybe creatively, if the Yankees and others are very smart, maybe you can maybe entice him a different way. Here's the bottom line, though, Sal. I really mean this. I know it comes up on the show once in a while. I haven't once this postseason looked at Soto digging in or watching the saying, this could be it. Not that I'm not inherently aware of that it's a possibility until he signs or doesn't. I just haven't let it permeate my space. He's playing for the Yankees, and he's playing in the World Series.
Honestly, it hasn't crossed my mind either. And I obviously want him to leave and go to the Mets. We've been talking about that. We will talk about that, but hasn't even been a thought. Even with Pete Alonso, where there was so much talk, is this Alonso's last game? Like, not now. You want to do it in August? Maybe talk about his potential last season or down the stretch, the final homestand, if the Mets weren't going to make the playoffs. Once you get into the playoffs, like, it's not about Pete Alonso. It's about the team in the playoffs. It will be about Juan Soto once the season is over. Right now, it's about Game 5 of the World Series.
Although,
yeah.
Did you see the article in the Post from Heyman today?
I did. Alonso will be their plan B?
As I read now, Pete Alonso could be Yankees' plan B if they can't retain Soto in free agency. Can you imagine those shows?
Could be is different than
what I hear, for sure. And I didn't even read it. Maybe I'll read it later. I don't know what's quoted, anonymous sources, whatever. But can you imagine those shows, or can you imagine that situation? That's coming. So that we have all early winter for that. Don't worry.
Let me just ask you real quick.
Yes.
Do you think the Yankees want Pete Alonso?
No, and neither do I.
Okay, me neither. So I'm just not buying that. Same thing. I think the Dodgers would want Soto. I don't think they could afford him.
But if they lose Soto, Sal, the Yankees.
Yeah.
Then they need a first baseman anyway.
Christian Walker, or
I think he's going to stay with the Diamondbacks. I would take. It's
yeah. I mean, it'll be fun. Sure. I'm not buying it. Eric is in Clifton. What's up, Eric?
Hey, yo. Good afternoon, guys. How we doing?
Great.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sal, I think you were really onto something before with the arrogance of Roberts. And take it a step further, though. This wasn't like what happened with the Mets, where you concede against us. You go to any sport, you got to take your opponent out, and you have a shot. The Yankees' biggest problems was that they weren't hitting, and he may have just given the entire lineup confidence. I mean, I almost thought the judge in game 3 should have just taken the bat and just watched the ball, because in game 2, he was just swinging at anything. He was almost closing his eyes and swinging. You know, now it seems like you let them into your bullpen, and that's the objective to never do. You know, like Boone's biggest mistake was not putting Cole out to start game 1. It was taking him out, and you let them into your bullpen. You know, he basically gave you Dodger batting practice. You let the entire Yankee team now get confidence and see the pitches. Take the names off of the back of the jerseys. They see the Dodger emblem on the front of the jersey, and they're like, wow, Rocky Ford, he's not a machine. You guys hit them. You go out there today with your ace, keep him in as long as you can. I don't know, man. I think this could be, Roberts undoing if this happens, because he gave the Yankees the one thing that the fan base, the players, everything. They have confidence. Yeah. And you get that, and if Cole goes out and delivers tonight, and these bats wake up.
Well, Eric,
watch out.
I got to tell you, and thanks for the call. It's a really outstanding angle, and we talked about this. Obviously, the mismanagement by Roberts, basically conceding. But what we didn't really get into, even though it's there, but it's worth exploring. Now, the psychology of the Yankee hitters. Like, if the Yankees won 3-1 last night, I would have walked out with my son. The Yankees won a World Series game. It's all good. Listen to the post game on the way home. All right, hopefully they win tonight. But the way that they, but if they win 3-1. It's the same story. Bottom third does nothing. Maybe Soto does something. Maybe Stanton runs into one. But nobody else has their fingerprints on the win. Not that you don't take it, but at least, there is a chance that by going to middle or no leverage arms, that these Yankee batters now, they get loose for a couple days. I mean, Verdugo is a .281 career hitter. I mean, Volpe has had some moments where he's looked really, really good. I love Austin Wells. I don't know if this unlocks all three of them. If it unlocks one or two, it could change everything.
But that's what's maddening about those guys, that this is not out of nowhere. We've seen them do this at times before. We haven't seen them do it consistently enough to really have faith and trust that they're going to continue to do it. So is it a matter of, now they're unlocked? Wells, Volpe, Verdugo, Glaber. And Glaber's been going well anyway.
Yeah, he's been hit well.
But obviously the home run, again, is it all that they're unlocked now and they're going to go on fire along with Judge and Soto and Stanton for the next 3 games to win? It's possible. Is it likely against better pitching? Is it something that I would believe in? No, because I've seen this before where the Yankees can be a bully offense, meaning against less than pitchers, game starts to get out of control a little bit, they're going to tack on runs. Like, it was Wells hit a big home run, make it 6-4. Mm-hmm. It's a two-run game. If Dave Roberts manages it differently, who knows what the outcome can be. Now, I'm not taking away from what they did, and the potential is there. I just don't, like, I don't believe Volpe is on lock now. I don't believe Glaber is going to start hitting bombs left and right. Austin Wells maybe could run into another one. I wouldn't be shocked if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not buying it, especially against the better pitching. And by the way, even if they do, I'm not so sure they're going to still be able to keep the Dodgers at bay.
Listen, I think what you said makes some sense there. I'm almost hopeful that there's more of a correlation to, and I'll explain this quickly because I know we have to break, but those three guys, now that they have more quality at bats, and I'm not saying they're coming out and, you know, ripping 2-3 hits apiece tonight and generating 6 runs, which they did between the trio, but what might happen is they might have just better at bats, which means whomever's out there, by the time they get to Judge, they're a little more taxed. Judge from the dugout and the iPad gets to see a few more pitches, and maybe that's where, you know, the benefit is really gained. But yeah, I mean, I was all over Volpe yesterday. I'm going to get on the air today and say I think he's going to get 3 hits. I'd love it, but I think he's, up until this point, he's been very fundamentally flawed. Had a great night. I love the kid. I'm rooting for him. I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't have incredible confidence he does it again tonight. But if he does, or at least if one of those guys does, this thing could go a long ways.
Bottom line, Dave Roberts and the Dodgers had a chance to put their foot on the throat of the Yankees. They had a chance to end it, and they let him off the mat. And that can be very dangerous.
Yep.
Because once you do that, you're giving life to your opponent.
A good question.
3 random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
1, 2, 3.
On The Fan.
All right, here we go. A little 3RQ on this Wednesday at 11:40, as we always do. Woo! Number one, you were at the stadium last night. You were on hand. Took your son Colt. Game 4 of the World Series. Would you ever wear a costume to a game?
No chance. There's no way I would do a costume. I get it, you know, like... I mean, if I went to a Jets Christmas Day game, which I wouldn't, because I wouldn't want to ruin Christmas. Would I wear a Santa hat? Yeah. Would I get dressed up on Halloween? No chance, dude. Go ahead.
Around the NFL on Sunday, I noticed it quite a bit in the stands. People dressing in whatever Halloween costumes. You know, the Mets had the Grimace run. Maybe that's a little different, but still, like, people going to the game dressed as Grimace.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it once in my life, not at a game, though.
Okay.
I went dressed at Adam Sandler concert. I went with my mother, and I dressed as the wedding singer for an Adam Sandler concert. I know.
Did your mom get dressed up?
Yeah, she did. She had the jersey on for the water boy.
I got you.
So it wasn't like she had full gear and a helmet, but she had the jersey for the water boy. Wow. I was...
Love to hear the car conversation there.
I was
love
full to hear gear. That. Yeah, it was fun. But like, to a game, like, I take that seriously. To me, a Sandler concert is different than a sporting event. I can't imagine wearing a costume.
There's no way I would do that.
In the NFL, it happens all the time.
Man. That's weird, man. Now you see players like Myles Garrett was, who was he dressed up as?
Jets will be doing it Thursday night.
Now, if they have a couple of box seats for Goldust and Doink, well, then I'm all in.
Right.
That's different.
I didn't even think of that. Would you ever dress up?
No.
Yeah, we'll dress up and go
we'll
to a
dress up
game.
On a radio show, though. For screw going to the game dressed up. But yeah, we'll do it where it lives in perpetuity.
I am not, in fact, a clown. Okay. Number 2. How many times do you think you need to meet somebody to assume that they remember you?
Okay. I think it's different because what you and I do for a living are very public. It's public profession.
Right.
So do you mean us or in general? Because it is a different answer.
Okay, well,
can I
give you the example? So last night, we got invited to this NHL Fanatics party.
Yep.
Lululemon and the NHL are emerging on some gear, and it's had great gear. I got some Ranger swag. Hoff was there, had some Ranger swag.
That's not cheap swag right there.
Lulu, no, it's
I know
not.
My wife's got a lot
which
of that.
Which is why so. I was like, I'll go. I'll put the game on DVR, I'll go. So Hoff and I went, we had a great time. Dan, Katie, they took care of us. Gary Bettman was there. I didn't get a chance to say hello to him. And Michael Rubin was
there. Yeah, of course.
Who we've had in studio.
Uh-huh.
He was there.
He didn't remember you.
I introduced myself to him again. And he gave like the, I said Sal Licata, WFAN. Like, he was in studio with us.
He sat down for 30 minutes.
And I didn't get the, and he was kind of quick to leave. He was on his way out, which is fine. I just wanted to make sure I said hi. I was like, I love the Fanatics sports book, which I do. Like, I want to talk to him for a couple of seconds.
Yep.
but I don't know if he remembered me. And that makes me think, like, I work with Ron Darling, but there were, for years, I'm like, I don't think he remembers me or knows who I am. Now I feel like he might.
Roddy.
But, so you see what I'm saying? So in that gotcha. Scenario, where yeah, you're right. We're lucky where we meet some famous people.
Yeah, and a lot of times they know us, and we might, I don't mean some, like somebody who, and I'm not calling us famous.
Yeah,
but like,
I know what you're saying.
You know, like, I'm not very good with names because, quite frankly, you know, more, like, I'll just give you an example. This happens a lot coaching, right? Coaches of other teams, parents of other teams, they you know, hey, you and Sal love the show, or yeah, hey, stop bagging on Lindor, or whatever it is. So there's, not always, but a lot of times there's a recognition or an identification of me. And because I'm so concerned, and not that, yeah, I mean, I want to be friendly, and I want to project positive, I want to appreciate them if they're a fan, that I'm almost less concerned with their name. And I'm more concerned with them having a positive experience.
I
am horrendous with names,
yeah.
Dude.
Understood.
Awful.
Do you think Michael Rubin remembered me?
I no.
Or if you met him, do you think, like, would you
I
assume?
I can't answer that. I don't know. We were in the same room, and we met him the same amount of time. I mean, doesn't sound like he had much of an impact on the guy. Now, well, think about this, Sal.
Maybe not.
I don't know him outside of what we know of him. He strikes me as the kind of guy who's so distracted.
Yeah, think of how many people he's met, though, in his life. Like, we're so insignificant.
Yeah.
Even if he's in studio, he's probably done a million. Hoff, you were there for the exchange.
What'd you think, Hoff?
Yeah, no, there's no chance.
There you go. Now, how did he play it off? Was sound like,
he was fine.
No, everyone was fine. It was cool. It was cordial. It was yep. like, shook hands, you know, talked a little bit. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. But there's no chance that he knew anybody
really?
At that place.
How is the new, I was going to go with you guys if I didn't go to the Yankee. And me and Sal were talking about that. How's the new NHL store? I was at the one by Radio City a bunch in the old SNY. Is it nice?
Awesome.
It's nice, right?
Two levels. There was so much swag.
The old one was two levels, too.
Yeah, I had to buy a Rangers hat because they had so much cool stuff there.
Is that a black Rangers hat?
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell the logo.
Fitted, dude. I love it.
Okay.
It was a fun event, and they have great merch. Like, I almost wanted to go nut shopping, but I couldn't. I just take the free swag.
Hockey gear might be the best.
All right, last one here for you. And Dove and I came up with this. Was this at the Division Series, Dove, or was this at the ALCS? Because we were going to these Yankee playoff games.
ALCS.
Okay, ALCS, we're sitting there watching the beginning of the game, and press box is great vantage point. You get some foul balls potentially back there.
Yep.
We didn't get one, but if you are in the press box and you catch a foul ball, you keep it or do you give it to a fan?
I give it to one of my kids.
Keep it?
Yeah, I would keep it. Now, if there was like, I mean, they also have balls. Like, if there was a little kid in front of me and he was like looking up wistfully, and it happened to go 3 feet over his head, and I happened to catch it, would I say, "Hey, buddy, you know, I would look to give somebody a good experience."
Normally, I'm of the belief that if I catch a foul ball, it's mine.
It definitely is.
I'm 45 years old. I've never gotten a foul ball. Only a home run derby. I got it.
Who hit the ball again? You told me.
Bryce Harper.
It was Bryce.
Yeah, Citi Field. But I've never gotten a foul ball. If I caught one, I would want it not just for me, but to like pass down to my daughter or nephew, whatever it may be.
Definitely.
But in the event I catch one in the press box, it almost felt
cheap.
Yeah. Like, why? I don't know. Like, I'm working. I'm not a fan of the game right now. Like, you know. I would be more inclined to give that, like, if little kids were looking up at the press box.
I think in that spot.
Now, if I catch it in the seats, I'm not going to kid over to get the ball. But if I catch it in the press box, I'll give the kid the ball.
You know you can't predict baseball.
Yeah, speaking of that, that's funny. I almost caught Cal Ripken's, did I ever tell you the story?
No.
399th home run in Camden Yards. And yeah, I'm not proud of it. I was in my early 20s, dude. I must have dived. You know, that still sounds odd, but I believe it's grammatically correct. I dived. I must have in front of like seven or eight kids. Just like, this ball's mine. It wasn't a proud. I didn't get it. Ricocheted off the hand ish. But I mean, I just leapt from one spot and was basically cross midfield and went into my. It was definitely not a.
I'm being told that, and you're a big guy as well. I'm being told that dived is not the proper use.
How did you get this one wrong?
What?
How did you get that wrong?
It's not dove.
It's not incorrect.
It's dove.
It's not incorrect. It's
you can't with go wrong by saying
it's 100%
dove.
Right.
go. Yeah, that's right. My bad, dove.
So
I dove.
Dived into.
The dived, I believe, is correct as well. But I dove. I dived. Yeah, exactly. And I just like it was so aggressive. Not like intentionally aggressive, but it was just. I don't know. I permeated the space of the little ones, and it's just, I never forgot that.
Yeah, I get
that,
it. All right, I get it. That does it for 3RQ. I have something that I want to bring to you here before we even come back and reset and hit you with the crown. We'll take a quick break, but and we'll get back to the calls as well. So I was just reading before the break a story from Andy Martino, who I guess posted this late last night after the game. Yanks ace Gerrit Cole says he's fully healthy and there's no reason to doubt him. There's more to the article that we can get into as far as the pitching plan tonight. But if that's the case...
Well, that's what I surmise. I mean, I don't know, but then, okay, well, so you still bagged out after 88 pitches. You didn't demand that you stay in, so I'm bothered more because that's what I thought, but now I see a little evidence
that's
here.
That's why I wanted to bring it up. I was giving them, Boone and Cole, the benefit of the doubt. If, in fact, he is healthy... Now, again, there could there be some... You know, you don't want to let the Dodgers know. I don't know. We do know he was good, very good. We do know he's pitched every game here in the postseason he's supposed to pitch.
And we also know his last pitch was 98 miles per hour on the gun.
If he's fully healthy, then the Yanks have gone wrong twice as it pertains to Gerrit Cole.
In terms of not going last night and not staying in for 88.
He should have been slated to start game 1, 4, and 7. I know they won last night and bullpen game, you take that. You don't want to waste your ace. You know, remember they talked about with the Mets, whatever. But still, 1, 4, and 7. And at the very least, you've got to stay in there game 1. Game 1 could have cost them the series.
That's what I said. It felt very ominous.
That was the one we agreed with. I didn't agree with Cortez being a big deal. Or as big a deal as everybody made it. I mean, Freddie Freeman's hitting home runs off of every pitcher that he's faced, basically. So I wouldn't go nuts about that. But the argument that we both made, taking Cole out, for whatever the reason, Brett Boone was on yesterday and said that he thought Gerrit Cole basically looked his brother in the eye, and his brother said, I don't think he's, I think he is done.
Yeah.
He read him. I don't care if it's because Cole was done, Boone pulled him. You can't take him out after 88
pitches. I agree. You need a crowbar to get me off that mound. Yeah. And think about this. Brett, the other thing that Brett said is, you know, generally when Aaron, not just Aaron, every manager, when they're going out to go to the bullpen, they're going to their arm, like when they get to the first baseline, basically. And so when Brett told us that his brother, in his thought, his mind was going out there to find a reason to keep Gerrit Cole in the game, and I used the expression before, the eyes are the window to the soul, and whatever he was looking for, he didn't get.
Yeah, and the Yankees ended up having to go to the bullpen early, and obviously you set them back a little bit. All right, when we come back, we'll reset, hit you with the crown topic of the day. Yankees, stay alive at least for another day. Game 5 at the stadium tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.